We're doing the book of Tzfaniyah. We're up to what's called the second chapter, the 12th Pasuk. The Navi had been describing the different nations that celebrated and partook in the destruction of Am Yisrael, in the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Navi is describing how Hashem will repay them. And the Navi continues in Pasuk Yud Bet. You got it? Tzfaniyah Bet Yud Bet. Tzfaniyah is in the 12, what's called minor prophets, shorter prophets, which are in the back of, in the very end of Nevi'im. There you go. Yeah.
Bet.
Perek Bet, Pasuk Bet.
What? What's going on here?
Tzfaniyah.
So,
Perek.
This way?
Bet.
גם
אתם כושים חללי חרבי המה. And you too, the tribe or the nation of Cush, who also rejoiced at our downfall, will also find themselves murdered by sword. V'yeit yado al tzafon. God will also extend his hand to the north. And Hashem will wipe out the Assyrian Empire, the Kasdim, who lived north of Israel. And Hashem will also wipe out the Assyrian Empire. And Hashem will make Nineveh desolate. Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And it will be Tziyah. It will be a place of destruction, Kamidbar, like the desert. ורבצו בתוכה אדרים כל חי תוגוי. And within Nineveh, people won't live. It'll be a place where they'll graze their animals. Many nations will bring their animals to graze there. ורבצו. רובץ is when an animal squats. ותוכה, within Nineveh, אדרים, flocks of animals. כל חי תוגוי. All the animals of different nations. גם כאת, גם כיפוד. Different types of birds too will frequent Nineveh in the Assyrian capital. They will live within its doorposts. Kaftor is another term for doorpost. Bechaftore hayalinu kol yeshore bachalon chorev basaf ki arza eira. The Navi says, kol yeshore, you'll hear a voice, so to speak, singing, the voice of the chirping of birds. Bachalon, that's what you'll hear through the window. Chorev basaf, you'll see destruction at the gates when you enter the city of Nineveh. Ki arza eira. Because the cedar trees, the posts of the buildings have been eira. Eira is another term for uncovered. Eira voshet, the Navi says. Eira is a description of someone's privacy being uncovered. So the Navi says, ki arza, for the cedar trees that were used to build their houses, Eira will be uncovered and open to the rain from above, and the winds will blow through it, because everything's going to be destroyed. The roofs are going to be destroyed, and the houses are going to be destroyed, and birds and animals will be grazing throughout the city. So, yeah.
I have a question about the Cushim.
Yeah.
So, I know they invaded Yehuda at one point, and they were... This doesn't turn out, but they invaded at one point, and they were rebelled. It's kind of a miraculous victory. But, like, what? Why are they rejoicing? They seem so far away, like they're south of Egypt. Why do they care what happens to Israel? Is it because of that defeat, or...?
I don't know. He goes nation by nation. I mean, in Pasuk Tes, he enumerated many psukim. He's been enumerating nation after nation that rejoiced at our downfall.
Right, but those are nations that haven't had, seem like they've had more interaction with us. Like the Moab, the Ammon, people that have fought with us and tried to oppress us and we've defeated.
I don't know. I don't know what interaction we had with the Kushim. I don't know why they wanted us down. I don't know. Don't know. I mean, it's only one pasuk, but I don't know. I don't know our history with the Kushim. Rashi learns that it's not over their rejoicing, but it is the fact that we were exiled in that territory. That the 10 tribes were also exiled there. But, okay. I don't know. Zot. It's a special trap on the word. Tlishak dola en agel shayim. Ha'ir ha'liza ha'yoshevet lavetach ha'omera bilvava ani ve'afsi od. This Nineveh is that city that was filled with happiness and rejoicing. They had economic abundance, and they kept thinking, Ani v'afsiod, which is a famous quote. Ani v'afsiod is quoted all over, meaning, I'm the only city around. They thought, there's no one around but me, which is always a term that's used for someone who's so haughty he can't see anyone else. Ani v'afsiod. It's borrowed from here. That Nineveh was so successful, they thought, there's no one out there but me. Eich hayetan.
This is a modern term now, actually?
In the poskim it appears. I don't know if in modern Hebrew they use it, but throughout the Rishonim, throughout, whenever a person wants to describe a person who's so haughty he doesn't see anyone else, Chazal literature. It's like, he's so haughty, he says, Ani v'afsiod. Throughout Midrashim, whenever the Midrash wants to describe a nation that's haughty, so the Midrashim often use this term, Ani v'afsiod. I don't remember it showing anywhere else. Eich hayeta leshama marbe itzlachaya kol over aleha yishrok yani hayado. Whoa, how this city that was once so great and so rejoicing to the point where they thought there's no one out there like them, there's no one out there but them, how desolate it's become, how it's become a place where wild animals spend their time. Whoever passes whistles and shakes his hand in dismay. How could such a thing happen? Wow, people are so amazed when they will be so amazed when they see it. Hoy more'am. V'nigala ha'ir hayona. Woe to the city. Mor'a v'nigala. These are two terms for filth. Woe to the city that's so filthy. Now, Rashi learns that he's turned back. He's talking about Yerushalayim now. Hoy mor'a. Woe to you, Jerusalem, who is so filthy. V'nigala. And is also so dirty. Ha'ir hayona, the city who is filled with ona'a. Very often yud and aleph are interchangeable in Tanakh. Over here, the word ha'ir hayona, one understanding is the city that's filled with thievery and unfair business practices. The simple another understanding is ha'ir hayona, the city that's like a dove. That the dove is often referred to as one who keeps purring without thinking what it's doing. Just pota in there. The dove just purrs and doesn't think about what's really going on. So, even in English we say bird brain. So ha'ira yona, the Navi says, the city that's like a bird that doesn't take note of what's happening around it, the dangers that are closing in on it.
Is that referring to the peaceful city?
No. No. Woe to that city. I don't know of any commentary that translates it that way. No.
It's a pretty relieved placement of, like, we're talking about Nineveh, and all of a sudden, according to Rashi, we recently switched out the warning. We're talking about Yerushalayim. It seems like it's almost like a warning. Like, everything we're saying about Nineveh.
There's another understanding here. That connects it, if you want a connection, that says that this is talking about Jerusalem that was under the Assyrian rule, and the Babylonians, the Assyrian and the Babylonian, then later the Babylonian rule, and on their flag they had the shape of a dove. So Ha'ir HaYonah is a reference to this city that that had to wave the flag of the dove over it, had to wave the flag of the empires that ruled over it, and really the time has come for that city to be redeemed. And yet Hashem says, I can't, because of the filth of the city, because of the sins of the city.
Who said
the Malbim explains that way.
When did the Assyrians besiege Jerusalem in the first time? So when did they actually control it?
The Assyrians? I don't know. I don't know when they... Sennacherib did not succeed. Well, he conquered all of Yerushalayim. He didn't conquer Yerushalayim. He ended by the gates of Yerushalayim, right?
Was that time he ever paid off the Assyrians though with tribute? Maybe that was.
Maybe.
Or was it the Babylonian?
No, there was, but that was much earlier in history. I don't know. You're right. I don't know what point he's talking about. I don't know. Lo shamea bekol lo lakecha hamusar. This city of Jerusalem is not willing to listen to the prophets that are warning it. It's not willing to change its ways. It's not willing to learn from what it sees happen to the northern 10 tribes. Has no faith in Hashem and thinks that by making peace treaties, that's what's going to save it. And they don't come close to Hashem. That's not in their interest. And so Hashem says, the nobles within the city are really just lions roaring, and they're using their power to scare the people. Its judges are like wolves of the night. The wolves at night are quick to devour what they find because they haven't eaten all day. So too the judges are quick to devour anything they can get their hands on. Lo garemu laboker. They don't leave anything, even the bones. Garem in Aramaic is a bone. So lo garemu laboker, they didn't even leave over the bones. For the morning they consume everything. Meaning the judges are so corrupt that they take everything they can from the nation. And that's why he says they're like wolves of the night. Just like the wolves of the night are hungry and they leave nothing for the morning, they'll even eat the bones, so too the judges try to consume everything. So the Navi is describing how the leaders are corrupt and really taking advantage of the people. Nevi'eha pochazim anshei bogedot. The prophets are light-headed. They're really people who are bogedot. They are people who are traitors. The priests desecrate that which is holy and deride it. Chamesu Torah, and they remove the Torah. They don't teach. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing everything for their own interest. Adonai tzadik bekirba lo yaseh avla. Hashem, who is righteous within the city of Jerusalem, and so Hashem says, He can't be a part of things that are unfair. Lo yase avla. He's not willing to do things that are unfair. Baboker mishpato yitein la'olo ne'edal v'lo yodea aval boshet. Baboker, morning, day after day, Hashem judges fairly, and mishpato yitein la'o, Hashem brings to light His own justice. But lo nedam, meaning Hashem never misses it. Ve'lo yodea aval boshet. But this nation who is so corrupt, they don't even know to be embarrassed from what they're doing. How could it be that they're in God's presence? They're in the city of justice. Yerushalayim is supposed to be the city of justice, the city of Hashem's presence. Hashem hates corruption. Hashem likes justice, and they don't even know to be embarrassed from their ways that are contradictory to Hashem that's in their midst. So the Navi is almost finished. But I think we'll pause here and we'll finish next time. Unless you prefer to finish. Yeah? Okay.
Wait, can I ask what Hamasu? Hamasu here, what does that mean? Hamasu Torah?
Hamas is to take by force.
Right.
So they use the Torah in order to take things from people by force.
So saying they're using the Torah for themselves?
Right. Now, there are multiple interpretations, meaning the Targum translates, chatvin be'oraita. They grab things from people with the strength of the Torah. Rashi translates they corrupt the Torah. They've robbed the Torah. They're not teaching the way they should.
Which is similar,
right? It's similar, right? It's along the same lines. Mm-hmm. Others say that they've corrupted because their duty was to teach Torah, and because they're not teaching, the nation doesn't have Torah. Mm-hmm. Chamesu Torah and Pasuk Dalet is that they've stolen the Torah. The Torah was entrusted to them as its teachers. The Kohanim were supposed to teach the Torah. And so the Navi lays the blame at their doorstep. Well, the nation isn't learning Torah because you're not teaching it.
Right. It seems like, you know, Kohanim are like the priests are just keeping this Torah is supposed to be spread out, like just themselves. It's not like they're abandoning the Torah necessarily, Kohanim, but they're, like, you know, the Navi who has a prophecy doesn't share it with the rest of the nation. What's the punishment? It's like
Yeah. Misa. Yeah. Misa b'dei shamayim. Kveshen v'ato. Okay, maybe. Yeah. Right.
And they keep themselves, like they pervert it, they profane it.
Right. The simple reading is that, but I'm saying sometimes the Navi words it that way, but it means what Moshe says. Sometimes it's the Navi takes them to task when really in action they were just short on that. They weren't traveling around teaching Torah, for example. We do find that in Navi. הכרעתי גויים, נשמו פינותם, החרבתי חוצותם, מבלי עובר. Hashem says, I've brought all kinds of destruction on different nations so that you will learn from it. And that's what the Navi is going to say in the next pasuk. How come you don't take note of what's going on around you? Hashem says, I destroyed the nations. נשמו פינותם, I took their towers and I destroyed them. החרבתי חוצותם, I destroyed their marketplaces. Mibeli over, no one's passing through those marketplaces. Nitzdu areihem, their cities have become desolate. Mibeli ish, there's no one there. Mayen yoshev, no one settles down there. Look at what destruction I wrought around you. Amalti achtirei oti tikachi musar. I said that by destroying these nations, you will have fear, you will have awe of me. And when you see them, you'll learn your lesson. Tikhi musar. Velo yikareit me'ona kol asher pakadti aleha. And then, my resting place, so to speak, will not have to be cut down. And then Hashem says, my hope was that all the good that I was planning on giving you, kol asher pakadti aleha, all the good that I've commanded to give to you will not have to be taken from you. Achim hishkimu hishchitu kol alilotam. But in truth, that's not what happened. You guys just picked up the pace. Hishkimu. You woke up earlier in the morning. Hishchitu, to destroy. Kol alilotam. All the different wrongdoings that you did, all the different actions that you were doing until now. Instead of learning your lesson, you got more zealous in being evil. Lachin chakulinu madonai leyom kumi lead. Hashem says, okay, if you didn't repent, so then I won't be quick to bring your redemption, but you wait. You wait till the time that I will come and bring your redemption. And here the Navi is seemingly talking about the great ultimate redemption. Lachen chakuli, Hashem says, so now wait. That's what we saw in Chavakuk. This seems to be a recurring theme here. That, okay, now you're going to have to wait. And to wait means that although time will pass and you'll be wishing that you could be close to Hashem again, now you got to wait. And Rashi learns that, Rashi doesn't say clearly, But some of the commentaries here explain that this is already talking about the great war of Gog and Magog, where Hashem says, okay, so now we're not going to bring you back to this state, which really that's what happened. We never made it back to that golden era. We never had it as good as we did in the first temple. Even in the periods of the second temple, we never, never came close to that. Having our own sovereignty, our own army, our own...
He speaks about that, huh? He says that since we didn't come back willingly, we lost a lot out from the...
Second temple. It's a Gemara.
I'm sure.
It's a Gemara in Brachas. It's a Gemara in Yuma, yeah. Hashem says, now you wait for me. Liyom kumi le'ad. Hashem says, wait till the day that I will arise and le'ad. Ad over here means to loot, to plunder. To the day when I plunder your enemies.
Why does this mean to plunder you?
Le'ad. Baboker yochal ad. Ad is... That's you could also understand it that ad means ilihivaed, to the day when I reunite with you. Liyom kumi le'ad.
No, I'm saying what's the root of that word?
Ad. The word ad could also mean destruction, to plunder. Yeah. Ki mishpati. Yeah.
So
I'm with you. Again.
We're talking about it. It sounds like we're talking about this this kind of period of exile that we've been waiting. But you're saying to bring God.
Well, he's saying now I'm going to bring destruction, the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, and you're going to have to wait to get back to this golden era. Meaning, even though we had our good moments, we had our periods in history where we had a Second Temple, we had a period after the destruction of the Second Temple. We had our good moments, but they never were as good as this. Hashem says, now wait for me to reunite with me. Well, that's going to take time.
So, maybe I don't understand what
Gog and Magog is the final war after which Hashem is going to reunite with us. There's
so
going to be this...
After
right.
Ki mishpati lesof goyim lekovtzim mamlachot lishpoch aleihem zaami kol charon api ki be'esh kinati teyachel kol haaretz ki mishpati. For then I will judge, and the word mishpat has multiple interpretations. One is judgment, one is punishment. Over here the Navi says, Ki mishpati, because then my judgment will be le'esof goyim, to gather all the nations. And that's what Chazal tell us in the war of Gog and Magog. All the nations will gather around us to destroy us. Le'kovtzi mamlachot, to gather the kingdoms. And they think they're coming to destroy you. And in truth, it's going to be lishpoch aleihem za'ami, so that I pour out my anger against them. Kol charon api, all of my wrath, ki be'esh kinati, for in the fire of my zealousness, te'achel kol haaretz, all the inhabitants of earth will be destroyed. There's going to be this fantastic war, and everyone's going to be destroyed. Ki az epoch elamim safa verura, and then I will turn and talk to the nations with clarity. They're going to understand what I'm going to say.
After he destroys all of them?
So, okay, that's the question here. Does it mean that really all of them will be killed? It doesn't seem that way. So it seems like... I know. The Kol Haaretz Bau Mitzrayim. Does it mean everyone traveled to Mitzrayim? We know not everyone traveled to Mitzrayim. Kol Haaretz doesn't always... The literal translation means everyone. It's like
you
say...
World War II. Was literally the whole world involved in World War II? No, there's a lot of scum.
So the evil or something will be eradicated?
I don't know. We'll see when we get there. Hashem says, all of earth will be consumed with my zealousness. Okay. What does that mean? I don't know. Ki az epoch elamim safa verura. And then I will be talking to them a clear language. Everyone will be able to understand me. One understanding is that everyone will turn to talk Hebrew. That's what's going to happen then. So everyone will understand, because Hashem talks generally in Hebrew. Likro chulam b'shem Adonai le'ovdo shechem echad. And the fact that they all speak the same language will also cause them all to have the same faith. They will all call out in Hashem's name and unite in the service of Hashem. They will all call in Hashem's name, le'ovdo shechem echad, and they will all want to serve Hashem united. On one side, it'll go beyond the rivers of Cush. Atarai bat putzai yovilun minchati. Atarai is the name of a nation. Bat putzai is the name of a tribe, also a nation that's far out there. They, even those far out nations, yovilun milchati, will be bringing gifts in my honor. They will all have recognition that I'm the one that runs the world. Now, what is that gift that they're going to be bringing? So, one understanding here is that the gift they'll be bringing is that they'll be sending the Jews back home. They'll be sending them back to Israel. And that's, okay, that's as we finish the Nevuah, we'll see that there's more indication that what we're talking about here is they'll be sending Am Yisrael back home. They'll be sending us back to here, that's the gift that Hashem wants.
Is this the Nevuah that Tzfani is the source for that? Because I've always heard that.
We also see it in Yeshaya. The Navi Yeshaya says, from all the nations, they'll send you as a gift to Hashem. They'll send you, my Jewish people, as a gift back to Hashem, back to the land of Israel. And that's one understanding here is also Atarai, those that pray to me. Yitzchak lenochach ishto. Yitzchak Atira is also a prayer. So Atarai bat putzai. Those that pray to me, meaning my people Israel, bat putzai, my nation that's been scattered, it's in the diaspora, yovilun minchati, they'll send them, they'll guide them back home as a gift to me. That's what Hashem says. Either way, it's all in the same direction. Bayom hahu lo tevoshi mikol ali lo tayich asher pasha'at bi. And when that day comes, you will no longer be embarrassed over all the bad that you did to me. You've been rebellious against me, but when that time comes, you will no longer be embarrassed over that. Ki az asil mikilbech, alizei gavatech, velo tosifi legovha od behal kodshi. Because then I will remove from within you those that are proud and haughty. Ki az asil mikilbech, I will remove from within you those that rejoice with haughtiness. That's why you won't be embarrassed, because you won't have those haughty people anymore. And you will cease to have this haughtiness. Od behal kochi, and you who live in my holy mountain in Jerusalem. Hashem says that's the root of the evil, the haughtiness. The haughtiness removes the fear of Hashem. You don't have the fear of Hashem, so then haughtiness is a false focus on the person's self. That focus on himself allows him to trample others. That's what paved the way for all the evil doings that we were describing earlier. I will leave within you, Hashem says, Am ani vadal. So the simple reading here is a poor nation, an impoverished nation. So Chazal tell us, it's talking about ani over here means anavtan, a humble nation. Vadal, in a nation that's low in the sense that they're not haughty. This is the antithesis of the previous pasuk. A nation that's subservient. That's the idea over here of ani vadal.
The literal translation wouldn't really make sense in the context.
Right?
No, does anyone explain the literal translation?
I don't know of anyone that explains it literally. Mm-hmm. V'chasu b'shem Adonai, and they will take coverage in the name of Hashem. That will be their focus, not their own strength, but they'll realize that their strength is the name of Hashem. And again, it all follows the same theme. When you realize Hashem is running the show and He's the future, so then you have to behave in accordance with the recognition that He's involved in the world. When a person is haughty and he feels like he's running the world, so then, well, it's a dog-eat-dog world, so survival of the fittest, he could do whatever he wants. Pasuk Yud Gimel is a famous pasuk. First of all, it's a kashrus, Sheirit Yisrael, right? But really, Sheirit Yisrael lo yasu avla ve lo yidabru chazav also has halachic implications, that we expect of a Jew, the remnants of Israel, that they don't do things that are deceitful. And this has halachic implications, where a person has to be careful not to do things that are deceitful, even if sometimes it's for a good purpose. Like the story of Rav Chiyo, his wife kept giving him the opposite of what he asked for, so his son switched it. His son would say, "Dad asked for beans," when really he asked for rice, and then she'd give him rice, because she thought he asked for beans. She was always interested in giving him the opposite, and his father told him, "No, don't do that. You shouldn't get used to lying." This has many halachic applications, where we say a person has to be careful not to do things that are deceitful if he can avoid it. Sheirit Yisrael lo yasu avla v'lo yidaberu chazav v'lo yimatzei v'fihem l'shon tomit. The remnants of Israel lo yasu avla. They won't do things that are deceitful. V'lo yidaberu chazav. They won't say things that are lies. V'lo yimatzei v'fihem l'shon tomit. And you won't find any cunning, any deceit in their tongue. Ki heima yiru b'ravitzu ve'ein machrid. And then they will be able to graze in peace, and no one's going to be able to scare them, because they're going to have peace and tranquility when they live in the land of Israel with these values. Roni bat Zion harihu Yisrael. Rejoice, sing out, you daughter of Zion, you people of Israel. Simchi ve'olzi bechol lev bat Yerushalayim. Be happy and rejoice with a complete heart, you daughter of Jerusalem, meaning you people of Israel. Hesir Adonai mishpatayich pina oyevich. Hashem has removed the punishments from upon you. Here's an example that where mishpat means punishment. Pina oyevich. Oyvech, Hashem has removed your enemies from the world. Melech Yisrael, Adonai bekirbech, lo tir'ira od. The King of Israel is Hashem, and He is in your midst, and therefore you will not have to fear any evil anymore, because no evil will come upon you. Bayom ha'o ye'amer l'Yerushalayim al tira'i. On that day, Hashem says, people will say, or so to speak, Hashem will say, you no longer have to fear Jerusalem. Zion, al yirpu yadayich. And Zion, your hands shouldn't weaken. A person who's scared, so his hands are weaker. So Hashem says, you don't have to release your grip, Zion. Adonai Elohayich, bekirbeich, gibor Yoshia, Hashem, your God is in your midst. Gibol Yoshia, He is mighty. He will save you from the enemy. Yasis alayich besimcha. He will rejoice over you with happiness. Yachrish be'ahavato. He will cover your sins with His love. Yachrish. He will either silence or be silent. Be'ahavato, out of His love for you. Yagilalayich berina, and He will rejoice over you with song. Nugei mimoed asafti mimechayu. This also Chazal discussed this pasuk. Hashem says, Nugei mimoed, near Jerusalem, it will be declared that the children who were nugei, they were filled with yagon. They were filled with sorrow. Mimo'ed. Because they kept waiting. When is the time going to come? When is the redemption going to finally come? Hashem says, Asafti, I will gather them. Mimechayu. Because really they came from you, so I'll bring them back to you, Jerusalem. Maseita leha chirpa. Hashem says, Mas'et aleha, because they've already carried upon themselves. Mas'et is like masa. They've already carried, she's already carried upon herself the destruction of Jerusalem, and chirpa, much disgrace among the nations as they were living them there. So this is a complicated pasuk grammatically. Nugei bimoed, those that were in sorrow over the time of the redemption. Asafti, I gathered them. Mimechayu, because technically they came from you. They are your nation, and so they're going to return there. Mas'et alei achirpa. They carried the blame, they carried the shame over you, over your destruction, Jerusalem. Hineni oseh et kol me'anayich ba'et ahi. Hashem says, when that time comes, so then I'm going to destroy all those who afflicted you. And here there's an interesting point that the word oseh could also mean to destroy, to plunder, to grind. Hineni oseh, and you'll find that in a few places in Tanakh, I will completely destroy et kol me'anayich, all those who afflicted you, ba'et ahi at that time, ve'hoshati et hatzolea, and I will save the one that is limping, that's talking about Israel, v'anidacha akabetz, those who were exiled, those who were pushed off, I will regather, v'samtim li tilaha u'lishem b'chol ha'aretz boshtam, and I will make them famous, I'm going to make them praiseworthy, b'chol ha'aretz boshtam, everywhere that they were shamed previously, they will now be praised. Ba'et ahi avi etchem uva'et kabetzi etchem. At that time Hashem says, the 10 tribes too will be regathered, although in the rebuilding of the temple, meaning in the period of the second temple, they did not come back. But when we'll finally have that redemption, so then Hashem says, I will bring them back. Uva'et kavetzi etchem, and that'll be at the time when I regathered you, because in the period of the second temple, the Jews weren't really regathered. Many of the Jews never came back to Israel. You had thriving communities in Egypt and Babylon, all over. The Jews didn't come back. So Hashem says, Ba'et ahi, at that time, avi etchem, I'll bring you back, all of you. Uva'et kabtzi etchem, and that's going to be at the time when I really regather you. Ki etein etchem l'shem v'litila. Because at that time, the reason everyone's going to come back then is because then you'll be famous, then you'll be praiseworthy. Who wanted to come back to a poor temple, to a poor coming? But then you'll be famous, everyone's going to want to come. B'chol amei haaretz, throughout the nations, everyone's going to speak positively of you. B'shuvi et shivuteichem le'ineichem amar Adonai. When I return, when I bring back, b'shuvi could mean when I return. B'shuvi could also mean like b'shuvah v'nachati v'sheun. Could also mean when I give tranquility. B'shuvi et shivutchem, when I give tranquility to those of you who returned, your captives that now return to live in Israel. Et shivuteichem, those who were your captives. Le'einechem, as you will witness, amar Hashem. And here we have a tradition that this is an allusion not only to the literal translation, to the return of Israel to Zion, but also to the return of the deceased, to Tchiyat HaMeitim. And that's what Hashem is saying, B'shuvi et shivuteichem, when I return those that are in the ultimate captivity in the grave, and you will witness it, amar Hashem, you will witness the Tchiyat HaMeitim.